how@gmail.com. And you are listening to The Heart of Wellness on 91.9.
So when you talked about, you know, the words and that being a sense, that's interesting because I wasn't aware of that. But as you're speaking, I'm thinking, okay, words, that's really left brain. Words are just constructs that we use to communicate when we're not communicating in the more efficient manner, right, of just being together. When we drop down far enough into this field of the heart, we lose words. We can't speak. So we lose total connection with that. So we become even unaware of those boundaries between what we call us and other. Mm-hmm. So that's, we actually become one. We go back to becoming one with all that is, creator, source, you know, whatever that is, whatever somebody defines all that is, we're all part of that.
You can say God on the radio, too.
Like Dr. Richard says, it's the God word that we don't use, right? But yeah, absolutely. It is however somebody defines that. If somebody doesn't feel comfortable with God, then we can use all these other things, too. But it is all it is. And
so this unity. So so that's where it seems like it, you know, goes in and out of empathy. I wanted to mention there's the concept of the thought sense. That's the 11th, and then the 12th in the Steiner conception is the ego sense, the ability to sense another person's presence. So sensing when another person has entered the room, and we know that we have these senses, right? We kind of lump them all together, I think, as intuition or something like that. Mm-hmm. But they can also be distinguished, and that's interesting. But I guess it sounds like matrix energetics is just saying, don't bother to distinguish or label them, but use them all. You know, start opening your arms and right. Gathering yes. it all in.
Well, and this is, you know, this is the beauty that I really liked about it. There is really no rules, which really, again, state boards and other people really struggle with. But there's no rules, and that this is just a field, So it is, in a way, is a collapsed wave, right? It's part of that, because the field that this is a idea that has come through Richard, but it can be applied. It's an application of the universe. So how do you apply the universe in our time using your left and right brain? It's going to be limited in a way, right? I mean, we want to, but it's teaching us to go outside the limits, but just talking about it limits us a bit. Just that whole process, because we've got to put it into our words, into our thoughts. But this is the whole key. There is no rules, because every person has a different experience with each other. So if I'm a practitioner, you're a practitioner, and we work on prudence, we're going to have two different experiences. And if prudence is working on something, she comes in and I say, I'd like to work on this. Well, let's work on this together. Let's matrix it together, whatever you one of the words you want to use. You could get to the same sort of results with two different people going two completely different paths. Mm-hmm. So somebody walks in, you know, could the hospitals of the future change where people walk in? Depending on what practitioner you get. That's the diagnoses are, you got 100 or 200 or 5 gazillion opportunities or diagnoses you could possibly
maybe
have.
Maybe you don't even need a diagnosis.
Bingo.
Right. The diagnosis is the problem right there. You're setting up the problem field. As soon as you label it something, you take away the possibility for what else that might show up as.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Exactly.
And locks in. I mean, this is one of the examples that was brought up, that there's people that have a surgery, cancer disappears, gone, no more sign of the cancer, they die exactly on the date that their doctor or gave them 6 months earlier. So the problem goes away. They're still locked into a certain field of, you know, a certain line of information that they got. Boom, they die on a certain date. And then, I mean, many other ways you could twist that. Mm-hmm. And show that people follow, just like that little photon follows our thoughts. Mm-hmm. We follow the path of success, of failure. You know, there's also those slits of paper that you can go through too, you know, through our possibilities.
Yeah, so it seems like this is all the problem, the diagnosis problem, maybe we can call it, is a consequence of being in the age of reason, which, you know, the Enlightenment. And now we're going through a different kind of enlightenment, right? Where we've done all the good things, like we talked about last week, all the good things that the age of reason brought us, which is looking inward more. I mean, there's a big thing about Hemingway being the first one to really get into introspection in novels, right? Which is kind of funny. You know, right. We don't think about that because they're all introspective now, and we all have this kind of introspective pattern going on in our heads. But that's relatively recent. And
yeah, was it what level? 1800s was it?
No, 50s.
Okay.
50s? Yeah, 50s. Yeah,
right. So it just started shifting at that time, right?
Yeah, right? So at least in writing, I mean, we were moving that way, but in novels, that was he was kind of the first. So, you know, things have been progressing slowly but surely, but now we're used to this introspection. We really have a solid I, and we really have reasoning down. Like this, you know, X follows Y and B follows C, or C follows B.
Depending on what universe you're in.
There you go.
I'm breaking free.
That's exactly right.
That's great.
Right. I did that intentionally you would notice.
And that's exactly the kind of thing that happens when you're around people and you start to resonate with, like, a Matrix seminar, for instance, is that that's what starts to happen, is you start to lose that. And I'm not saying that you're suspending your logical capabilities at all, because I don't do that. I have a lot of logic, and as do a lot of people in this. But this is logic. It's all based in science.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like you're expanding the definition of rational, right?
Absolutely. This is all rational. We just have to understand. I mean, very advanced technology used to be called magic.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's no difference now. You know, people can look at this and say, well, wow, that's magic. It's like, well, yeah, okay, it is. But there's science behind it, if someone chooses to learn that. But you can resonate. Just being with people, dropping into this heart space, and just being and observing can be just mind-altering. Honestly, when I go to these seminars now, and especially this last one was fantastic for me, my experience is I'm in an altered state the entire time. And it's just totally amazing to just be that for days in a row. And it's just so, such a feeling. I mean, really, I have no words to describe that.
Yeah, I'm thinking freeing.
It is. It is. And a lot of people question, well, you know, when I'm here at the seminar and Dr. Richard is explaining things, it all works so well and I can do this and I can do that. How do I take that back home to the real world with me, because things don't work the same there? And, well, I guess the answer for him is, well, we have more of a morphic field here. Everybody's resonating in that, and there is strength in a morphic field. So we can tap into that, but you can take that with you from there. However you want to create your tool or an object or your mental construct, to take that in back into your home environment with you, and you can still maintain that and just tap into it.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. And with family constellations, excuse me, you notice the same thing. You can really tap into a morphogenic field at any time, in any moment, when you want
to. Absolutely.
You know, there's a whole process for it, which I think is true. You know, when you're in the Matrix Energetics Conference, there's a process, and you're going through exercises, and so it's, and the same with family constellations. There's a, you know, process and organized kind of way of doing it, but you can do it at any time because the morphogenic field exists. And
always.
Yeah, and this is something I read recently, an interview with Rupert Sheldrake, talking about all the evidence that exists for the morphogenic field and for us all being connected. And the science has rejected it and rejected it and rejected, even though by science's own rules, it has been proven. So, for example, dogs going to the door to wait for their masters. They've had a camera on the dog, a camera on the front door, I guess, and a camera on the person. As soon as a person starts packing his or her stuff up to go, you know, in the office, somewhere at a remote location, start packing their stuff up, the dog goes to the door and starts waiting. And that's been, you know, filmed many, many times.
He's got the whole book on that.
Yeah,
that he wrote about
that. Yeah, right, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
it's true.
And then people picking up the phone, another basic experiment, but people picking up the phone and saying, guessing who it is before they pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And when they know the person, they're accurate what is it, like 67% of the time, you know, huge, much better than chance degree of knowledge. And then when it's somebody they don't know, it's much less accurate. So, you know, the people we've actually met, we're actually connected to, the morphogenic field is stronger.
We're connected to many different morphic or morphogenic fields all the time. All the time. We have them all around us. Everything from Santa Claus to, you know, the nuns in our grade school back when. I mean, there's this shared experience of all of this that we constantly use, whether we know it or not, in our subconscious mind. But the science is there. The science has been there for 30 years that totally confirms everything from clairvoyance to clairaudience to telekinesis. It exists. There is no doubt about it. The science is there to back it up. Multiple studies. One of the best books out there now, if somebody really wants to see the hard evidence of it, a man called Claude Swanson, Dr. Claude Swanson, he has it's a huge book out. This is his second one. It's called Life Force, the Scientific Basis or Evidence. And Dr. Richard always recommends this book, and I went and got it. But the charts, the experiments, the everything is there. He talks about the torsion field, you know, torsion field physics, which is what we have in the field of our heart. And that's also sometimes known as scalar energy. The torsion field energy is scalar energy. This has been known for a long time, and it's utilized by scientists. But we just don't talk about that. You know, obviously there's reasons why things would collapse. You know, the way that we go through our lives would be entirely different if these things were well known and documented and the general public knew about them.
Well, we wouldn't have to get our happiness and our information from the TV or some other authority.
Maybe so.
I'm going to cry.
Well, and actually there's some of this is used even by the Defense Department, right?
Oh, for a long time. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's there. They know about it. They use it. Yes.
Remote viewing has been around since at least World War II for sure.
Yeah. And that's all useful. That's all very useful. I mean, I've read all the books from Joseph McMonagall and all the remote viewing, and there's a process for that too. It's being the observer and don't try and interpret, don't judge. It's just observing what you notice as you connect to something remotely.
What was the process there that this was interesting in the remote viewing, which is really a limited form. Mm-hmm. This is just to describe it. This is the people in World War II that were in the spy department of the U.S., now well known out there. They literally were in a space. They meditated. They went to certain places in Germany or wherever it may be. They'd go to the office of Adolf Hitler and sit in on a meeting, right?
Right.
And then they would have another remote viewer go into the same place just to test it and see if it would work. And they talked about if they tagged it, like with a number, a random number, like 45, or they tagged it with a flag and put a number on it, just in their mind. This is all mind process. And they came back. The consistency increased by a huge amount, like just because, they collapse the wave. So here it is. They're over there. They're observing, not judging. Boom, you collapse it. So now this second observer could go to the same place and find those pieces. Now, they wouldn't see the number, but it somehow collapsed the information so then they could go back and find the treasure themselves with no communication between the two. This is stuff you can read about.
Absolutely.
And would that be considered a miracle in the world of people that have very limited thoughts on how we communicate and how we see and how we travel? And I would guess so. I mean, it's out there, not just near-death experiences and dreams and daily hallucinations. This is the real deal.
Daily hallucinations. I like that.
Oh, this I had a great connection with Matt Shortridge / Frank Prophet. April 1st is coming up. talking about, he's really into, we've had him on the show before with lucid dreaming. And to matrix energetics, if you get good at it, in my mind, it's just the opposite. So lucid dreaming, we're in a right brain world, heart world, we're out there somewhere. And then you do these goofy glasses that Matt does, try to wake him up in the middle of the night, but not completely wake him up. So he's trying to become conscious of his floating in the world of right brain possibilities. Okay. So during the day, you're already conscious. All we have to do is become hallucinatory, right? I mean, we got to imagine, we got to allow ourselves, we got to kick back or drop down to the field of the heart and open up to the possibilities, but stay conscious about it.
Right. And how do we do that? You know, that's what I think that my huge takeaway with Dr. Richard Matrix Energetics is that he talks about how do we do that? Number one, how do we know when we're in the heart space? You can just trust that. But what are the tools? We create constructs out there, like windows. So we imagine windows, right? And we can imagine time travel. We can imagine parallel universes. We can use all of these. They're just constructs. They're just tools. You know, whether that parallel universe actually exists in a scientific way, is that meaningful? Maybe not. Depends on what we're doing with it.
So, again, Dr. Richard has developed a few, but they're unlimited. Whatever works for you.
Absolutely.
Whatever works for you to go into the world of possibilities and then be able to apply it to your life. So we're trying to, I mean, what are we trying to do? What's useful? What's useful about Matrix Energetics? You can apply it anywhere in your life, your job, your activity, whether that be a sporting activity. I have improved tremendously. I can't wait to practice my golf game.
All right.
Matrix Energetics. Go ball! I mean, but basically, to be able to open up to new possibilities, right? Creating miracles through releasing our thoughts, but not completely, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know if we want to get into particular examples, but...
Yes.
Yes, we do. Okay. ID. We need to.
We are listening to, you are listening to
The Heart of Wellness.
The Heart of Wellness on WDRT 91.9. And today we have a Matrix Energetics phenomenon.
Oh, good job.
Gail Nielsen.
And we are really having a fun conversation here. So if you'd like to join us, you can do that by.
Email us at wdrthow@gmail.com.
Thanks. Cool. So, there's just so many, but I know after I got home from our wonderful last weekend, I did have one of my clients call me, and she said my dog got out and ate like her whole bag of food or something. And now she's in pain and she's laying there and I can't touch her belly and whatever. She just texted me, can you do something for her? So I stopped what I was doing because I, you know, Rosie wasn't doing something important. And I just noticed my front door window and it already had little panes of glass in there that were windows. And I'm like, oh, how cool. And I felt, and it's like, well, time travel. So let's just time travel back to before the dog ate the food. Time traveled back to that. And then it's like, well, what do we do here now that we're there? Oh, well, we need to access a parallel universe where we can move forward where that never happened so that the dog exists in the timeline, still in the current, but she never ate the food. And so I texted back. I'm like, well, I'm done. She said, yeah, I know. She went outside and pooped, and she's fine now.
Oh,
now, I don't know. Is that, you know, would that have happened anyway? Maybe. I don't know, but... It was useful in the moment, and for me, it was a very concrete sensation that I had of what was going on, and it took 15 minutes, and it was done.
Well, that's something practical that people can use. So we know that we can, you know, that time is just our perception, and that is not really linear. We can go back in time. We can think about all these alternative realities. To some of us, this kind of comes naturally. You know, just think. Oh, I'll just travel back in time and heal that. I'll go back and be with myself when I was, you know, in this time that was hurtful, or, you know, I'll go back and live that differently this time. I'm those kinds of things. You just, I think they occur to us, but we push them out of our minds. Like, somebody was talking the other day about seeing something in the sky, and it was she said, it must be a plane because it was in the sky, you know, and she's used to seeing in the sky. But she said it didn't really look like the planes that she's seen. And she noticed her mind saying, well, it's got to be a plane because, what, you know, there's nothing else that it could be. But she said she stopped herself from thinking that and just said, I'm open to whatever possibility is there. So it seems like that's a really practical way to begin, maybe, to just start thinking, this doesn't have to be the reality. It can change. And how what are the possibilities for it changing? It might be an alternative reality. It might be traveling back in time. It might be going forward in time. It might be
exactly
all sorts of
things. You can go anywhere. Yeah. Another dimension or yeah.
So practically speaking, you just quiet yourself?
You can. Some of the tools that I use personally that I learned before is something I've had really good results with is something called image streaming, which really is a protocol too, kind of, but it is. It's just closing my eyes, and it helps me, at least at the beginning, to speak out loud, to connect that sense of speech, because that's my left brain, which helps me remember what I experience. And then I just start to talk and describe using all of my, you know, five senses, what I notice. So it can be anything. And the sillier it is, the better it is. And it's just like having a waking vision, honestly. I mean, I can see and smell and touch and...
Kind of like lucid dreaming.
It is. I'm there. Mm-hmm. And for me, that is my reality at that point. And whatever shows up is useful for me. In another sense, it can be just close your eyes. And I like the idea that Dr. Richard used once of... put a marble on the top of your head and imagine it dropping down through the inside of your head and going spiraling down through your throat until it gets right there and stops.
To your heart?
To the heart. Mm-hmm. And so that's taking the consciousness from the head and actually consciously following it down to the heart and then remaining there. One of the things that I just read recently and brought to mind is like, cut your head off. Imagine you cut your head off and your head's not there. There's actually a book called On Having No Head that talks about that.
Really?
Yeah, there is. And I thought, yeah, well, that's perfect. Because then, where are you now? If you don't have a head, where are you? You're in your heart. That's the only place you can be.
I have a brief story to tell you about that. When I was in my early 20s, I was taking a journaling class. And one of the exercises was to open the dictionary and write about whatever word you pointed to. You know, just close your eyes, open the dictionary, and point to a word. So I did that. And the word I opened to was decapitate. And being young and a little paranoid, I freaked out and said, why would I get decapitate? And the journal teacher, she was older and a little, she was very patient with me. She said, just do it again. Just close it and find another word if you want to, if it's freaking you out. So I did. And guess what I got? Behead. Did. So, and she said, well, why do you need to lose your head? She said, you need to lose your head. And
then, yes. So, oh, that's so perfect.
Totally changed the paradigm that I thought with. And then, it, you know, got me into myth and metaphor. And anyway, so that was a life-changing experience. And
thank you. I like that.
No, wasn't that, you know, I mean, people could say that's coincidence. I mean, that's pretty tough.
That's
coincidence.
A pretty big coincidence.
I mean, that's huge. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where you got, I mean, how many words in the dictionary describe your head being taken off?
Yeah, right.
You got them both. Yeah, I mean, and there it's life changing. Oh, how do you lose your mind? And in a way, releasing the mind, but it's not. You know, this is where, as a meditator, I was like, oh, I got to get rid of my thoughts. Got to get rid of my thoughts. And if I don't have a meditation, or in the past, didn't have a meditation that was free of thought, well, I wasn't successful. Well, here, it's just.
That is a misconception, though. I'll do
it. It is a misconception. Yeah, that's what I mean. So that was my conception of that process. And, you know, to where can we be conscious of the miraculous that happens every day? And not only that, create it. And this is one of the practical things we're talking about. One of his biggest gifts, I think Richard has brought, is open-ended questions.
Mm-hmm.
You're just asking those open-ended questions that the left brain can't answer. What is possible? What is possible to show up? Right? I mean, it's like, I'm not coming up with a very good one here. Can somebody help me here? Meaning,
what if my life were to look different?
Bingo.
What if? And that's a prayer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a prayer.
And yeah, we were talking about that earlier. And that's a right brain prayer. Right?
Yes.
I mean, that would be where it's like, okay, what would look differently if I was to feel more enlightened or more or happier or more successful? What would that look like mm-hmm. compared to? Wow.
I know. The lights just got really bright in the studio here for no apparent reason.
I think Charlie's playing with us.
When you asked that question, the lights what just is? Got bright. Boom. That's amazing. That's
great. There you go.
My life became brighter. Yes,
yes. But the process of like 10 years ago, I stopped setting goals. And, you know, 10 years later, I was like, you know, it felt good at the time. But 10 years later, I felt like, you know, God, did I blow it? What a stupid idea. You know, and yet now I'm coming back to it again. Are goals a limited prayer? Or are they a limiting prayer? Mm-hmm. Do we know the possibilities? So is there a different way to set that goal? You know, I would like to get out there and share my gifts. What would that look like?
Yeah.
You know, compared to, I want to become a presenter or a speaker or, you know, and this is what I have to do to get there. And it's the same process.
The lights just went out.
Okay, he didn't do it that time.
That was the wrong question. Okay, what next? I got to go deep.
Well, see, that's you're talking about limiting goals. I want to be this. I want to be that. Oh.
Bingo. Hey.
I came back on. This is so funny, folks. This has never happened in this studio with us.
I love that. That's strange, right? At the seminar, it was something like this, where we were going to get off the elevator, and I was with my roommate, and we were going to the fourth floor. And the doors opened, and the digital display in the elevator said 3. And as I sat there and waited, and the door opened, and somebody said, "This is your floor," and I'm like, "No, it's not, it's 3. But we got off, we looked, and it was 4, you know, uh-huh. And where they embossed the numbers right on the floor, on the door there, and it's like, do-do-do-do. So, little things like that, but that you notice that are kind of a mismatch. I like to think it's like in the movie The Matrix, right? It's like if you notice something weird, pay attention to it.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The cat in The Matrix, the he notices a cat and going by twice, and he says, "Deja vu." And everyone says, "What do you mean?" He says, "No, just deja vu." And they say, "No, that's important. Pay attention."
Yeah.
"What exactly was it?" And he says, and then they say, "That means this." And they freak out. So,
sorry. She's in The Matrix. That's good.
Well, just setting yourself free. You know, how do you set yourself free and to notice the possibilities? And where are we going to be 20 years from now? You know, that's where I, you know, 10 years from now, it's like, are we opening in, like you're talking about the enlightenment, which was really kind of an odd description of it. Enlightenment in their description was we went into the left brain, right?
To under the age of reason.
Into mm-hmm. reason. And now a different type of enlightenment is hopefully now we're dropping into the field of the heart.
I want to talk a little bit about fear because, you know, when you're talking about visualizing, a lot of people have fear about that if they... if they visualize a marble moving from inside their head down to their heart, or they think they might be letting in energy that could be harmful to them. So can you address that a little bit?
I would say that there isn't any positive or negative energy. Everything is the way that we perceive it. Dr. Richard has talked about actually, we always think about binary when we think about computers, right? On and off, we think black and white, but if we focus on one or the other, if we think about black, then to balance things out, because the universe is neutral, there has to be white brought in. If we think about white, there has to be black brought in. So what he talks about is a trinary system with 0, 1, and neither one of them, the potential to be anything. And that's neutral. And so if we remain in a space that's neutral, there can be no... like suction the other way. It's like a vacuum. If we focus on one thing, we create a vacuum and we collapse that field down to this. So the act of experiencing fear or feeling fear brings that to us. Something I like to say all the time because it makes sense to me is don't look where you don't want to go. If you're constantly have fear in your mind, then fear is what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. If you constantly feel lack in your life, that's what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. So... I know that that doesn't help much from a reasoning perspective. If somebody is afraid of something, they may continue to do so because it might be useful for them in some way. as soon as it's not useful for them anymore, then that fear will go away.
Well, can naturally. You just ask the question, why do I need this fear now?
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah. Or what would it be like if I didn't have this fear? That would be a total open-ended question.
There. Well, it even comes up that there's fear of fear. So why do we not want to feel fear? Why, maybe it's a useful thing for us to feel occasionally. And asking the question, why are you here? Maybe mm-hmm. that's a way of gathering its knowledge, and then you can release it.
In my life, I find caution is useful, but not fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to look both ways before crossing the street, because mm-hmm. that is the world we live in, that we've accepted as consensus reality. But I don't need to believe that the car is going to hit me. I don't need to be afraid of crossing the street. I just need to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But if fear is existing in your life in some way, asking why might be useful. I don't think we do that very often, right? I mean,
no.
if there's something going, if there's, or anger, or, any emotion that we're uncomfortable with,
mm-hmm.
we can start having a dialogue with it rather than just pushing it away.
And the question might be open-ended. It's like, what useful in my life right now could I help to either discover where this is coming from? Mm-hmm. So you're not saying I want to get mm-hmm. rid of it. You're not saying, what is it? But is there anything useful that could help this move along? Or, some... Mm-hmm. some process yeah. like that,
right.
because again, caution is necessary, in our life to have that process. But
right.
does
although
it
we can question that too, right?
Well, that's true. Yeah,
we but from a right brain perspective, I would say rather than left brain, with what I would do with it is just say totally open, put no boundaries on it, and just say, if I were to experience this differently, what would it look like? And that's totally opening, and it's experiential. It's like, I don't need to know. Knowing is my left brain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't need to know that. I don't need to go back to my childhood. I don't need to dwell on any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What if this? What would this look like if it was different?
Mm-hmm.
And then just totally open and mm-hmm. go with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And here's some more science with that process. If you want more options, period, you got to go with the right brain.
Mm-hmm.
Left brain, 32 bits of information per second.
Right.
And the right brain, I do believe, is like,
oh, like how many trillion?
It's a trillion per. It's just
62
on,
trillion. Or
I mean,
something.
Basically unlimited. Now, who counted that? I don't know, but we know it's more. And like all those commercials that are on right now for one of the technology things. What would you like it faster or slower? They asked all these 2-year-olds.
Oh,
so you
yeah.
like something bigger or smaller? It's like faster. Why faster? It's like, well, here you go. You have the tool. We have. The Apple computer right over here on the right side. Are they going to get mad at me? But, what do you have on the left? You have, some toy. It's just, it's not even close. It's not even close. You have a piece of paper with a pencil and you're doing the math that way.
Mm-hmm.
Not that would.
And you get a supercomputer unlimited on the
right,
other
right.
side.
Right, right. It's just on. And then where does that connect you to? And that's, again, it connects you to the heart. When you have that whole brain experience, connects you to heart. It's
mm-hmm.
open to the possibilities. The simple miracle, I was going down the Matrix Energetics and I was going 85 miles an hour and I'm speeding. I get stopped by an Illinois cop and I'm a male in a cop. And I think, okay, don't go into fear, buddy. And I just sat there, went in my heart, did a little meditation before he walked up, and the guy gives me a warning. Why would the guy give me a warning? I mean, to me, that's a mini miracle. It's a total mini miracle. And it was part of my whole process. I was listening to Matrix tapes on the way down. I was totally in the zone. That's why I was going 85, So it's a, notice that. It's a practical process. And you can poo-poo all these miracles any way you want. You can literally left brain your mind out of all the miracles that happen every day
mm-hmm.
that are reported on a continual basis. Or you can say, I know they happen. And you can go into that mode. It's really that simple. What are the possibilities of our life? And do we want to limit it to the 32 bits a second, or do we want to move to a different possibility? It's available. And the tools are there, and I do believe Matrix Energetics is one of those breakthrough tools that has multiple tools in it that says this is just a small part of your toolbox. You can use any way one you want. To work with ourselves and each other.
Absolutely. I'm totally there. I agree 100%. Matrix Energetics has totally enhanced my life, and I feel joyful every day that I can use it for myself and I can help others with it. It's just wonderful.
Thank you so much, Gail, for being with us. This has been a fascinating conversation, and I hope we will continue it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Today's guest.